Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Hey, everyone. I can't believe that we have been doing the Wine Writers Wrap-Up for 5 months. Time flies when you are drinking and talking wine. With it being officially summer, I thought a proper topic would be summer must-haves. So join me, along with four of my wine writing friends, as we discuss what characteristics we look for in summer wine, when we start thinking about summer wines. And although I'm all for promoting rosé, here's a little shameless plug. We have an amazing offer on our rosé. Get 20% off a six-pack of our rosé, plus get $10 off a future order. And that $10 is eligible for our inaugural release of our Reserve Single Vineyard Designate 2016 Cabernet Franc. You can find out about our award-winning wines and how to order on our website at dracenawines.com. During the podcast, we had a lot of laughs, and we did do quite a bit of name dropping, so be prepared to hear some bell ringing. We decided every time someone dropped a name, we would ring a bell. I think by the end, we could have had a symphony. And I learned I need to pay more attention to the answers of the riddle, as I totally didn't hear the correct answer. So once again, Nick, I apologize. Hope you enjoy. We are live. We are live to talk to you today about summer must-have wines. So first, thank you everybody for joining on this. I don't know where how it is by you guys, but it is hot here. when is it not hot in Fresno? I don't know. but today I have four wine writers, four friends with me, and we are talking about our summer must-haves and what we're kind of considering what is a summer wine. So first up, I have Amber, who writes for the Wine Travel Eats, Amare Magazine, and the Vintners Project. She lives on the border of Napa in Green Valley. Her blog includes wine reviews, recipes, and articles about luxury travel. So hi, Amber.
Hi, guys.
Next up is Jeff. He is a certified specialist in wine through the Society of Wine Educators, a blogger, and the host of the award-winning podcast, We Like Drinking, one that I personally never miss. Hi, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Lori. Thank you for having me.
And next up is Nick. He is the marketing and brand manager for two wineries in the Pacific Northwest. He began his career in wine down in Argentina when he did marketing communications for a well-known Malbec producer. He holds his advanced certificate in wine and spirits and is currently a WSET diploma student where he just took his second test.
Woo!
And up next is Rick. He is a wedding photographer by day and a wine blogger by night. He focuses on wine, food, and Charleston, South Carolina experiences. He enjoys learning about wine and sharing his perspectives. So, hey, Rick.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm good.
I may not be certified, but...
Well, not in wine.
I just got a certificate for completing Somm School at one of the local wine stores. They have a 13-week series of wine classes. It doesn't get me much other than education. You know, nothing I can put after my name, but hey.
That's something. Congratulations. Woo! Congratulations.
The knowledge is way more important than the letters past your
Yes.
name.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly.
I agree. And I'm your host, Lori. My husband and I, Michael, own a boutique winery in Paso Robles, California. We specialize in award-winning Cabernet Franc and Rosé of Syrah. Graduated from UC Davis Winemaking School. Graduated with a microbiology degree. Graduated with way too much science in my brain. And I am, in addition to the live stream, have the podcast. an award-winning blog, and I am the co-host of Wine for Bet Street, which is a monthly wine education program, and we are missing Debbie today. It's the first one she's not here with, and I miss my partner. But we have, I think this is kind of an interesting concept or topic tonight, summer must-haves. So first and foremost, the most important thing, what is everybody drinking?
Okay, so since I'm the girl, I'll go first.
Absolutely.
Southeast Texas here. So I'm drinking one of my favorites, and I think it's also a summer must-have, Smith Madrone Riesling. You know, this stuff is just gold. Gold juice in the glass. The reason I like this Riesling so much is that it's such a full mouth wine. You know, it's not wimpy. It's something that I always reach for in the summer when I want a glass of white wine that's going to actually satisfy my red wine taste buds. And it's different. It's so beautiful with food. It's great just to sip on the porch in the summertime, and you know, it's affordable, and it's made by, you know, some rock star winemakers that have been up on that mountain in Spring Mountain, since the 70s. And so, you know, you just got a whole bunch of 50 years worth of knowledge making this juice, and it's awesome. That's it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Jeff, you're next in line, according to my pictures.
All right, excellent. I'm so excited. Like, I have a good friend here in Colorado Springs, Timothy Valdez. He is the owner of Zeta Wines. It's just his own. He's a home winemaker, but he is making some serious juice. And I got to taste some wine with him today, and he let me take a bottle home. So I'm tasting this 2016 Pinot Gris.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and
I like the label.
Yep. Yeah, it has clouds in it. Of course you like it. Yeah, so this is Carlos Cuartas. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, but a beautiful Pinot Gris. I was telling Timothy I'm generally not a huge fan of Pinot Gris because it's usually pretty, like, meh. But this one's very full of flavor, great balance, just a very delicious little wine that I'm very much enjoying.
Very nice. Nick?
You know, I couldn't decide, so I'm a bit of a heretic, and I'm double fisting. But
love it.
My red, I went with Valpolicella, because I love Valpo. Classico, really low in alcohol, 12%, really bright acidity, ripe red fruit. I mean, slightly chilled is the perfect, like, summer drinking wine, in my opinion. And then Duck Pond Pinot Gris, 25th anniversary.
Oh.
So bottled unfiltered, unfined. Nice. It was actually fermented in 3 puncheons, 1/3 new, and underwent full mallow. And so it's almost like the Chardonnay of Pinot Gris, which is really lovely.
Very nice. And Rick?
It should be no surprise to those of you that know me, I am drinking a rosé. And I grabbed a bottle of Chinon. It is a Loire Valley rosé wine. I don't know if there you can see it.
There you go.
It is a go-to. It is not only, you know, even though I have a refrigerator full of California rosés now after my trip out west, I grabbed this so that I wouldn't get in trouble. This is a, you know, easy $15, bright, fresh, clean rosé that I started drinking the vintage last year. We have continued on through it. And we just got it back in, and so that's it for today. And
so I have to share, because I was going to pick a wine, and I got yelled at by my husband. he's like, "What do you mean? It's summertime. It's rosé time. What else are you gonna drink? You need to drink Dracena Wines rosé of Syrah." So I'm doing a shameless little plug for ourselves today. So yes, so I am drinking my Rosé of Syrah in my little Dracena Wines glass. Whoa. Right? But so cheers, everybody. Sláinte.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
And now, a word from our sponsor. If you are looking to find some new and exciting wines, why not look to our sponsor, Wink, spelled W-I-N-C. Wink makes it easy to discover great wine. It delivers 4 bottles per month without a membership fee or commitment, and it even includes shipping. And if you go to trywink.com/wrap-up, that's trywink.com/wrap-up, you will receive $22 off of your first order. Wink is less like a wine club and more like a discount wine shop. Once you sign up, you're free to choose whichever bottles is in its online store that catch your eye, and many start at just $13 a bottle. Each wine comes complete with a plain English descriptor, tasting notes, and even suggested food pairings, so you know exactly what you're getting into well before you pull that cork. Plus, Wink's team of experts will recommend specific bottles each month based on the results of their fun-to-answer palate profile quiz and the feedback you can leave for every wine you taste through the simple rating system. So once again, go to trywink.com/wrap-up. trywink.com/wrap-up to get $22 off of your first order. So, this is episode 5. I actually cannot believe that we have been doing this for 5 months already. But my first question is, when do you guys start thinking summer wine? Is there a time that you're like, all right, it's time to start drinking summer wine?
When it hits 58 degrees in Portland. That's when the shorts and the t-shirt come out, and I'm like, yes, rosé all day, white wine.
And so if I can just go from the 58 degrees, that means that, well, here in South Carolina, you were thinking summer wine all year long, because 58 degrees is about as cold as it gets.
And that's why people live there.
The day. Exactly. That is why people live there. And so really we think about summer wines all year long. And we do drink whites and rosés, light, fresh whites and rosés all year long, or until they run out, because clearly some of the stores, you know, only have limited quantities. So we will switch to red and heavier whites in, you know, January, February, but pretty much by March, we're looking for them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Both sentiments. One, it's a temperature thing, really, is what drives it. But I think once you start getting the spring kind of buds starting to pop up, I think it starts sinking in that rosé season's right around the corner. It's coming, you know, and so that's when I think you start looking for those types of wines.
Is summer wine like rosé? Like, or, you know, like it is, everybody's like, okay, it's rosé season, but there's Riesling, you know, I mean, I drink Riesling all year round too, but I mean, like to me, the thought process is really the promotion for rosé has become summer equals rosé. But do you drink other wines that you don't typically drink?
So, yeah, I do. You know, I am somebody, you know, in the summertime, I drink iced coffee, and I don't drink hot coffee in the summertime. I only drink it iced. And really, my tastes in wine changes too in the summer. When I'm hot, I want something more refreshing. I typically tend to like red wine. White wine is a secondary choice for me. So when the temperature starts to get up a little bit, my mind starts thinking, oh, wouldn't that be nice and refreshing to the palate to drink something white or you know, rosé. And because I cook, I spend a lot of time in the kitchen. My wine choices really have to do with what I'm cooking. And so, you know, when about March or April, when you start thinking salads and fresh and all of the, where I live in particular, I'm surrounded by not only vineyards, but I'm surrounded by farms. So I get all this beautiful, fresh fruit and vegetables. And so once those start coming around, that's what I want to cook with. And that's what I want to be pairing my wines with. So, you know, it only makes sense that I reach for the wines that are going to pair beautifully with those foods.
So it's not necessarily Memorial Day or the summer solstice or, you know, the blood moon, whatever. It's pure temperature.
Temperature, yeah. It has nothing to do with the moon cycles or the biodynamics or, you know, I don't know.
Nope.
it's all food and temperature driven, in my opinion.
And apparently, I'm just here to piggyback off what everybody else says, but exactly what Amber's saying. It really follows the food. When, you know, you're not going to have a big, thick food in the middle of July. And so wines kind of tend to follow that. So
right.
Like, once those lighter, fair foods start coming out, yeah, rosé is one because – you get to say hashtag rosé all day, you know? I mean, what do you not want to do with that? But also, you know, you're looking for those wines that are really driven by the acidity that's going to be able to go along with those more acidic foods and those light, refreshing foods. And you're looking at something that's going to come in and clear the palate and let you get into that next refreshing bite of food.
I think that as soon as the temperature, well, for this year, as soon as it stopped snowing, that you want to be outside and you want to start grilling and you're looking for vegetables. I don't know about you guys, but during the winter, I don't really eat very many vegetables. It's not, you know, it's, yeah, I don't want to, you know, shop. Well, ours is ShopRite, whatever, in Jersey. You know, those vegetables have just been sitting there forever and they just put, you know, the ethylene in and there you go. I want something fresh. So once I can get to farmers markets, that's when I start thinking lighter food, lighter wines, you know, things like that. So, I need those farmers markets. That's what I'm looking for.
You know, yesterday I had, I was out with family and we were making shrimp scampi. And so while I could have had a rosé with that, I decided to drink a Viognier from Cliff Family that I just picked up when I was out there with Amber last month. And it was the perfect wine to go with that shrimp scampi. And we had it over zucchini pasta, which really is not pasta. It's just zucchini that looks like pasta. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. What are you laughing about, Amber?
No, I mean, I agree. It can't be more perfect than that. And, you know, that Viognier is just so clean and fresh in the mouth. It's going to just do all those good things to that seafood and the zucchini. It's just going to make it pop in your mouth. It's just a fantastic combination.
You know what's really good? Viognier with the Cliff Family Bar seed and nut bars.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'm guessing that's what you eat in the winter.
But, oh, that's pretty much what I live vegetables. On. Cliff, let me just tell you guys that Cliff Family Vineyard, well, Cliff Family, like, they're in business because of me. Like, I support them.
Can we get, like, a little bell or something to ring every time you plug something either of your own?
But that is completely true. I have a Cliff bar for breakfast. I have a Cliff bar for lunch, like 99% of the time. Ding, ding. I can't help it. I love their stuff. I love their stuff. And honestly, I've never even had their wine, so I have to change that.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
Okay, that's it. It's on and cracking, Missy. We have to go.
So when you are looking at a summer wine, when you are thinking of purchasing a summer wine or drinking a summer wine, what is a characteristic that you declare, you know, this is a summer wine? What's in it that you're looking for?
I would say low alcohol, higher acidity, fruit forward. Those are my characteristics when I think of summer, because think of if we're going back to pairing food, you're wanting something that's fresh in the mouth, that's not super heavy on the palate, you know, something that you can have 2, 3, 5 glasses of if you're at my apartment.
Same exact thing. I mean, you know, it's that high acidity that what makes your mouth water. You want another sip. Mm-hmm. You really want that and, you know, when it's light and fresh and it's a hot day outside and your mouth is watering for another sip, that's what makes you think summer right there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even if you never get outside, which we don't here, you know, not in the summer.
And again, I agree with what everybody else said. Now, I will say, and it kind of goes along with the high acidity, but just to expand on the point, something that doesn't have a really long finish to it, because again, you're looking for that get right to your next bite where, you know, you don't want like a cab that just has this 2-minute long finish that you just love it and you enjoy it. But, you know, at this time of year, you're like, okay, I got it. It's awesome. It cleans my palate out. Get me to my next bite.
And to piggyback on what Nick said, the low alcohol part of it is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why that is so important is because since it's hot, you do tend to drink more quicker. So you want it to be low alcohol so you can drink more, you know, more frequently. When you said something, Nick, I thought you were saying, you know, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 glasses, and I was thinking you were going to say bottles, but, you know.
Wow. Depends on the night, Rick. Depends on the
exactly.
night.
Exactly.
But the company you're keeping.
I think it also depends on geography and culture. For, you know, when I lived down in Argentina, you know, didn't matter what day of the week it was or season, you're having asado at somebody's house. And when you're having, you know, an asado, you're going to be drinking Malbec. Yeah, sure, somebody's going to have, you know, Torrontes or something like that, but, you know, there's always going to be Malbec there, so, you know, typically it would be higher elevation, so you still have that acidity, you know, maybe some calcareous soils, and so you just get that salinity in it, but, you know, I think here in the United States, when we think of summer wines, it definitely goes towards a certain thought process and, you know, direction.
But is there a variety that pops in your head screaming summer?
Well, not grape, but wine. Vino Verde is one that I always think of right off the bat when I'm looking for summer wines. You know, Amber has a Riesling there. That's another one that I think of. And, you know, Riesling sometimes gets a bad rap because it can be made in several different styles, right. But classic dry Riesling, I think, is a great summer wine. There's so many more. I mean, the summer wine list is, yes, please, may I? But, you know, those are two that pop off the top of my head. There's a ton. Picpoul, I mean, the list goes on.
Picpoul, that seems to be one that's coming up and coming in the wine groupings. You know, you're starting to see more and more of it. And it does have that nice acidity. The Vino Verde, you know, so you're really talking for the most part Alvarinho for Vino Verde. And the other one that's in Vino Verde, I can't remember what it is. But when I went to a Vino Verde event in New York, and they had the majority of them were Alvarinhos, but there was another white grape variety that was very acidic. Well, I'm thinking it starts with like LOU. Probably not even close.
For me, I think it's Chenin Blanc.
Chenin Blanc.
Yeah.
you know, especially Bouvray, you know, but Chenin, can just be made in so many different styles, and whether it's, you know, steam from South Africa, I mean, just Chenin is the quintessential perfect white wine.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to say that the other day, we had a Grenache Blanc, Grenache Gris blend from Roussillon, and it was incredible. And I think one of the key elements to that is if it's grown in a hotter climate near the water, it kind of lends itself to a summer wine. It's going to have the salinity. It's going to have those, the high acidity, maybe, you know, more of the citrus flavor realm. And this particular wine we had the other day, it was just a great wine to have during the summer, eating it with seafood.
Paying attention to Facebook also. And Jim Valdoza, I was right. It's LOU. It's Loureiro.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Good job, Jim.
Woo!
So go ahead, Amber. I'm sorry.
So for me, one of my absolute favorites, if I'm not drinking Smith Madrone and I'm not drinking Cliff Family, or Dracaena. Yeah, I just got my shipment. I'm so excited. I haven't tried it. It's getting a chance to rest after, you know, it being shipped here. but one of my favorites actually is a French variety. We know it here as a different name, but I love Sancerre.
Oh.
So it's my absolute favorite thing. I can hardly ever get it here in Napa because they don't sell French Sancerre here.
Don't?
They really don't.
We haven't talked about Pinot Grigio.
Pinot Grigio or Verdello.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, it's just like the list is so long of the wines that can be summer wine, summer go-to.
Right. Right.
I haven't even touched on bubbles.
Don't start me on bubbles, mister.
Yeah.
I didn't hit the start button.
It's and by the way, Jeff, thank you so much because my wallet is a lot lighter now because you have introduced me to Gruet.
Right. Oh, hold on.
Ding. Every time I see them, I send you the link.
I was talking about that the other day when you sent out that four pack, that free shipping out to four. I'm like, what have I started? What have I done to Lauren?
I know. I
apologize for it at some point.
Yep. Purchased. Shipping it on.
But, you know, and so there's another thing that's really important to talk about in that the summer wines, you know, we're talking about the light, refreshing wines, but we also all like to grill and smoke meat in this time of year. And, well, not Lori. Lori, she just lives for the seashell. She lives for the seafood, like, all day long on her plate.
She does, but she doesn't. It can't be anything icky.
I know. She's just...
She's got the palate of, like, this big.
I do. My palate is this
big. Lori, can I get you some strawberries?
Nope. Not unless you want to rush me to the hospital. Nope.
But for a lot of
recipe I write, I always tell her, I'm going to substitute this for peaches for you, or I'm going to substitute this for some other fruit because I have to come up with something because it's always strawberries in it.
Jim Valdoza is totally agreeing with the bubbles comments, by the way. With the grilled meats, you know, these wines that we're talking about really don't work that well with them because those heavy, charred, and big meats kind of overwhelm the wines. And so that's when you start talking about Zinfandel and Syrah and Malbec. And that's when these wines that come in that's got a little bit more gusto, your Bordeaux blends, that's when you can bring these. Hold on. Why not? Your cap's on. But, you know, so there's a time and a place for these heavier, bigger wines And especially like to be Zinfandel and Syrah, if you're grilling meat on the grill, even more than Cabernet Sauvignon, these wines just go so well with barbecue and grilled meats, and so you got to have those at your on your table as well.
Couldn't agree more.
So I just had something that would absolutely, in fact, their whole line just blew me away, was the Rainy Wines. Have you guys had Rainy Wines before?
Yes.
I've had their Chardonnay.
Yes, very okay. Good.
Okay, so I did a tasting with Rainy. It was really fabulous, but they actually make a claret. And for those of you who aren't familiar, claret is this just light, beautiful red wine that goes with so many things and is just so delicious. And they make a beautiful claret. And for summer, when you're looking for not a real heavy red, but you want a good red,
right,
something that, like, you know, just to drink, there you go. A good claret, and I highly recommend Rainy.
Yeah. Well, and speaking, I was about to say something about red wines also, being that, you know, I'm on the right coast and closer to France than I am to...
You're on the right coast. No, the right coast is California, my dear. Right coast is California. Yes, that's the wrong coast.
No, but you're the left.
No. It's the right coast and the wrong coast.
Oh, well, there is that. There's no doubt about that. Don't confuse me, woman. I was going to talk about Gamay.
Oh.
Gamay, you don't see a whole, or I don't know of a whole lot of Gamay producers out in California, but when you look at the Cru Beaujolais out of France, I mean, they produce some beautiful Gamay wines that you're going to put a slight chill on in the summer. You can even do that in the winter. And what did Lori just promote? I just heard it.
I didn't ding.
That was me. Hubby was just letting me know he's on the way home.
Anyway, but, you know, because I, you know, being a former, I don't drink white wine person, it was, you know, until I found the white wines that I loved, I still hear from a lot of people that say, I just don't drink white wine. And, you know, I would like to be the person to introduce them to some of the white wines that I think they'll love. But in the meantime, there are some really beautiful lighter red wines like Gamay, maybe perhaps some Pinot Noir, that in the summer with a slight chill would be perfect with a picnic or a grilled, you know, anything on the grill, chicken, whatever.
I would agree with you, Rick. I think any of the, you know, Burgundian reds that Gamay, the thinner skin red grapes, even, you know, Sangiovese, I wouldn't go to, you know, Nebbiolo for Barolo. I mean, yes, it's thin skin, but it's just way too tannic in my mind for summer. Any of those, especially, I'm going to do a shameless plug, Oregon Gamay, Oregon Pinot Noir, especially maybe Duck Pond Cellar. We have both. But even away from those thin skin grapes, what Jeff said rings absolutely true. You know, the Syrahs, the Zinfandels, especially from higher elevations, the Amador, the Lake County, especially Lake County, part that's not burning.
Sadly.
Lake County is on fire right now.
Lake County.
Have you been, Rick?
Yolo County is on fire, yeah.
Yep. I'm saying, keep in mind, I am on the
wrong coast.
Other coast.
They don't have CNN there.
Actually, for reasons that I will not get into.
They only have Fox News.
Fox News.
No. For reasons I will not get into, because this is not a political podcast, I have sworn off all news channels.
Okay.
Because I give can't you that. Quite listen to this anymore.
Which, well, Amber, Yeah. Kelly posted today smoke from the Yolo fires. Are you seeing the smoke, or was she someplace else? Oh my
gosh. So on Saturday night, I had a dinner party, and you know, I live on a lake, and it's beautiful. And we were sitting outside, and ash was falling all over us as I was trying to, you know, serve this beautiful dinner that I had created, this, you know, 10-course meal all paired with wines. And I said to them, you know, do you want to go in? And they're like, nope, we're just enjoying. But it was so bizarre. And it's just the sky. You can't see the sky. It's kind of gray. And I have these tufts of ash all on my patio.
Oh, it's so
really
sad.
It's really bizarre and sad. You know, it's not smoke where you're breathing in the smoke.
Okay.
But it is, you know, ash is falling all over everything.
Jim is chiming in with more reds that are good for summer, such as Grenache, which
Grenache. I
have to agree with that.
And you know, I don't know if any of you had any Senso from Lodi.
Yes, I have. Betchel Vineyard.
Oh my god! Oh my god! You need to drink buckets of that. It's so delicious.
They serve it in buckets there, don't they?
I think they just put a raw in the bottle, and you're just suck it down.
It is so good. That vineyard produces amazing fruit. It really does. All right, so here's my next question, because Mike and I joke about this. Do you tend to drink more, less, or the same amount of wine in the summer?
Yes.
Yes.
I would say the same amount, although the color changes dramatically in the summer. Okay.
So for us, the color doesn't change because, again, with cooking, our wines progress in color in the summertime. That doesn't happen so much in the wintertime, but the color does progress in the summertime a lot. You know, as the evening cools down, we get to a heavier red.
Yeah.
You know, we start off with the light whites when it's warmer and move on. The one thing that I will say about the summer is that we have an indoor-outdoor lifestyle where we particularly live. And that just creates more parties. So more parties mean more drinking. But when you do what all of us do, and that wine is your everyday lifestyle, and you literally must drink on a daily basis.
It's a tough life.
To do what we do, right? Yep. You just, and I think all of us are very responsible drinkers in this group. I mean, you know, so, you know, there's a difference between drinking it and tasting it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately for us, a lot of times we just get to taste it rather than drinking it.
Yep.
I personally think we drink more in the summer, mostly because, well, right now we're together, which is not so that increases it. But mostly I think because we start off, like Amber was saying, you know, we go from the white to the, you know, as the evening progresses. In the winter, I think we tend to have a beer and then sit down for dinner and have a bottle of wine. Where in the summer, you know, we're hanging out, we're going to grill something, we'll open a white and we'll drink that bottle. And then, you know, the evening is done and we're sitting down and we're chilling and, all right, let's open up another bottle. So I think we tend to drink a little bit more in the winter than in the summer. I don't know if.
And honestly, you know, I was joking earlier when I just said yes, but I tend to drink more white wines in the summer. I tend to drink more rosés in the spring, a little bit in the summer and fall. And then in the winter, even though I will still drink all of them, it does shift more to red wines. But that doesn't mean I'm drinking by quantity.
Right.
It's not changing, but the color is changing depending on what the weather is like and who I'm drinking with. A lot of times it depends on who I'm drinking with.
Well, that I think goes back to what Amber was saying. I think summer lends itself to parties. You know, there's more get-togethers, I think, in the summertime because people, at least in Jersey, nobody wants to go out, you know.
Well, you also have more sun, time of sun to drink. Where, in the winter, by 5 o'clock, it's dark and dreary and cold, and you're like, go out? No, I'm not going to go out. I'm going to cuddle up in the couch with this, heavier red or heavier beer, and that's it.
Right, right. You're just getting home, and it's already dark. So, right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's how it is. I would agree with you, Jeff, that, here in Oregon, during the summer, it gets light at 5 a.m. It doesn't go down until 10. And so you do have that extended daylight versus, in winter, sun goes down at 4 and coming home in the dark and doesn't come up till 8:30. Luckily, I work at a winery, so I get to drink all day. No, just playing. In case the OLCC is listening to that. But I would agree that, season and culture, there's so many factors that play into how and when and how much we drink. But I would say for me, I'm kind of across the board. I don't drink more or less. It's just when I drink and what I drink differs.
So what about the price tag? Do you think summer wines have a mental set that they should be cheaper?
Okay, I have to weigh in right here, and Rick was with me at this tasting, and Lori actually texted me because she couldn't believe it. So there's a recent Sauvignon Blanc that Rick and I drank. That was $90.
Oh, and I got a bottle of home. Yes!
And so I had quite a lot of comments about said Sauvignon Blanc at $90. It just depends on where you live. Napa, anything goes. Mm-hmm. For the price, sadly. And I'm not saying price is quality. It's just, I guess, whatever the market will bear. And for me, I drink what I like. And this beautiful Smith Madron Riesling is $30. It's affordable. Cliff Family is affordable to drink. $30, $40 a bottle. You don't feel bad if you have to drink more than one bottle.
Have to.
Your wrist keeps working. It's just,
Everybody has their own different version of what is expensive.
Right.
But to me, with summer wines, I mean, this is kind of a little off topic.
Okay.
All right now. You may be on the other coast, and I don't know which one that is, other than wrong. But I think it's really important to drink wine at the proper drinking temperature, whether it's summer, winter, or fall. I mean, I can't tell you the number of people that are drinking white wines that are so cold, they might as well be drinking water with alcohol in it.
Kelvin,
ring that bell. Listen to my podcast about Kelvin wine thermometer.
Okay. Where is that podcast, Lori?
It came out last week. The wine inventions that help us enjoy our wine.
But I would agree with you, Rick, on all your points, really. surprisingly. But when it comes to price, what is expensive or cheap, it varies. And you can have, you know what, one of my really favorite summer wines, this is probably blasphemous to say, is like a $5 Columbar from Gascony. It's just citrus and minerality and low alcohol, and I love it. But that doesn't mean that I don't love, you know, more premium or luxury, you know, whites. So really just depends on, you know, your budget and, you know, what you like to drink.
Exactly. Drink what you like. That's the most important thing. No matter what the price tag is, if you like what is now $3 Chuck, drink the damn $3 Chuck. Life's too short to drink stuff that you don't like.
Absolutely.
And stuff that you can't afford. Wine is for everybody. And that's the most important thing that you can know about wine.
Except for what my mom drinks, but I won't say that.
Yes, my mom drinks that same wine. I'm just letting you know. My mom drinks that. And I'm ashamed every time she orders it in a restaurant. I'm like, no, I'm really not a wine writer. Please don't recognize me right now.
I hear what everybody is saying, but as I think through it, I think for the most part, I probably buy more less expensive bottles of whites than I do reds. Now, that's not saying I'm against spending a good amount of money on a real, you know, I'll drop $35 or $40 on a nice Sancerre because I think the Sauvignon Blancs coming out of Loire Valley are just beautiful. But, you know, if I'm feeling like a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, I'm going to spend $10, $12, $15 on it, and I'm going to be happy with it. You know, so, but if I want a German Riesling, I'm dropping $30, you know, so, but I think more often I'm drinking more weekday whites that are probably 15 or less. And maybe that's because I'm a little bit more picky when it comes to reds. And I generally am not a big fan of the 15 or less reds. I don't like them a lot. So I think I spend a little bit less on my whites in the summer than I do my reds in the winter.
Right. And I mean, other than that $90 Sauvignon Blanc, whites typically are less money because from the winemaker's aspect, it's so much cheaper to produce because I can get that out there faster. I'm not paying for the barrels. I'm not paying for storage, all of that stuff. So
unless you're doing a Chardonnay.
Or this Duckpond Pinot Gris 25th anniversary that was done in 3.
Ding, ding, ding.
Sorry, you set me up for that.
I did. Yes.
Everybody loves Duckpond. Everybody loves.
Jim in the chat is about to burn us down. Don't mention that Verdejo is a beautiful white summer.
Yes, and I have to honestly say I'm unfamiliar with. So.
No way. Okay, so when you come to visit me, I will be plying you with plenty.
Okay. Just my arm. All right, so my last question is, so we have summer wines, right? Do we also have fall wines, spring wines, winter wines? Is there such a thing?
I was gonna ask that same thing.
So, you know, when it gets to winter for me, in particular, I really start liking the Cab Francs. I want something warm, and I want something that's going to give me that yum factor. You know, fall for me is all about Merlot. You got that medium body wine. I can drink Sangiovese all year round. One of my absolute favorite things to drink. It's got that beautiful acidity. It's wonderful with food. It just is, for me, an all-around beautiful wine. And then, you know, again, it's all food-driven for me. So when I'm doing that big, huge steak or, you know, and all of my wine goes with the food that I'm making. If I'm making turkey, I happen to love Pinot Noir, which is my turkey. You know, it just depends on what season. You know, so if you're talking fall, you're talking Pinot Noir for me. I love those flavors. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, and I you know, I was thinking about that a lot today as I was thinking about this show, you know, because we look so forward to summer. And so I think that's why we have these discussions and there's blog posts everywhere about must-have summer wines, but you never really see what are your must-have winter wines.
Right.
It's getting colder out. The daylight is shorter. You're getting more depressed. What are you really looking forward to drinking? You don't really see those posts out there.
No, but you do see, what are you going to drink for the holidays? What are you going to drink for Thanksgiving? What are you going to drink over Christmas? What bubbles are you going to drink at New Year's? You know, in the fall, winter, we have a whole lot of holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summer, we have 4th of July. And
Memorial
Day.
I guess Memorial Day.
Arbor Day.
No, did you just say Arbor Day?
Arbor Day.
Yeah, no. Cheers to Arbor Day. And as any teacher will tell you, the worst holiday on the face of the earth is Labor Day. Labor Day.
Mm.
The worst
Why
holiday.
Why is that?
Because you're ready
to go back to school.
Oh.
I have to go back. Blah.
Well, I love Labor Day. Because just when you think, that's like the sign that the 100-degree or 100% humidity is about to end.
Yeah.
It's
the sign that the 100% I'm enjoying my day is gone.
Gone.
Exactly.
All right, guys. So you know what time it is, right? It's
riddle.
It's riddle time. All right.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So here we go. We ready? You ready? I climb higher when hot, but beware my rage. I'll kill with a breath if I can escape my cage. And everybody's dumbfounded.
Can you repeat yourself?
A hot air balloon?
I can. No, not a hot air balloon, even though that did almost kill me. No. I climb higher when hot, but beware my rage. I'll kill with a breath if I can escape my cage.
A wildfire.
See? Remember all of my, I try to follow in the Jeff Eccles philosophy of, you know, the concept of the meeting.
That's always wrong.
No, it's always right.
From Czechoslovakia.
I'll say the sun.
There's a little science to this one.
Okay.
And it's not a thermostat.
I like Mercury.
Who said that?
Me.
I hate Mercury. Yay, Nick! I didn't hear Mercury. Vegas.
And then we went on.
I don't know. I was like, okay.
Nick said Mercury. Clearly you don't pay attention.
No, I don't. I didn't even hear that.
That was my second answer.
No, Mercury. Yes.
I need to see you to do that last thing.
Oh.
The up and down glasses thing. There you go.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Nick. I did not even hear Mercury.
You'll make it up to me.
I will. I promise. I promise. All right. So now that Nick, you're like doing well in this. You get these riddles well.
That's what I do.
I have more.
I don't think so anymore, Rick. I think I think you were tied, and now he's gone ahead.
Oh, okay.
I think it's 3-2. And last month, I stumped everybody. Nobody got it.
I study riddles. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do in Oregon?
We are going to drink heavily.
Lori.
I need to rein it in. All right. Well, we are at that wrap-up time, obviously, that it is wrap-up time. So this is where you get that 1 minute or so to just kind of plug whatever it is you want to plug, because we haven't plugged enough during this episode. So we're going to go in reverse order this time. So, Rick, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I just put a new post out. This is my favorite dog in the Hawaii world. This is Breezy. Say hello.
Hi, Breezy.
Hello. She's the one that knocked over the wall last time. And anyway, I just put up a new post on strong coffee to red wine. Check me out, and I hope to be here again. Thanks so much.
Awesome. And Nick?
So I am WineComGuy. Guy. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, or WineComGuy.com. Also looking for anybody in the wine industry, particularly in buying, selling, or winemaking, that wants to be interviewed by me for my WSET diploma number, like unit one research paper. It's on the 2017 vintage. Feel free to hit me up, winecomguy@gmail.com.
Jeff?
Hey, everybody. Be sure to check out, after you listen to the Dracena Wines podcast and Wine Favel Street, be sure to check out the We Like Drinking podcast. Each and every week we drop on Fridays. We have a lot of fun on there, similar to what we did here tonight. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at We Like Drinking, and on Twitter as We Like One. Number one. And if you're on the Facebooks, I highly recommend joining us in the tavern. It is a hoot. It's our private social media group. WeLikeDrinking.com/tavern to get signed up.
And Amber.
So, you know, follow us on Instagram at Wine Travel Eats. I do a lot of photography of beautiful places all over the world. And I have a magic wand that works for clouds. Ask Jeff. He's always telling me that my magic wand works. And, you know, follow us on Twitter at, you know, Wine Travel Eats, and on Facebook at Wine Travel, at Napa Food and Vine, actually. You know, we do recipes that are easy and beautiful and tasty, and we do a lot of travel, and we do a lot of beautiful wines and stuff that can relate to everybody, not just wine aficionados.
Agreed.
Yep. And I'm Lori. Last shameless plug, Dracena Wines, Rosé of Syrah. We are actually offering a summer wines deal right now that if you, you're going to get 20% off if you buy a six pack. So that's pretty darn, that's a discount. And our regular price is only $20. So that is a huge, huge summer wine price tag right there. So 20% off plus $10 towards a future purchase. So it's a pretty awesome deal.
But drink the Cab Franc, because the Cab Franc is amazing.
The what?
The Cab Franc is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Double gold winning, so there's another ding, ding, ding for us. So anyway, thank you guys for joining. And all that's left is next month's episode, and that is going to be on August 13th, unless I'm in Oregon. August 3rd. Although I could still do it in Oregon. I think that's what we should do. I think that's what we should do. August 13th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, because yes, I am now on the right coast, and it is going to be decant or not. Do we have to decant?
So, oh, great. I just had a great experience with that. So Rick and I both had a great experience with decanting. So, you know, we'll both have a lot to say on that subject.
Awesome. So I hope you guys join in. And I thank everybody for coming in. And Jim, thank you for being on the Facebook page.
Thanks, Jim.
And everybody else who was watching. We had several viewers here. So thank you, everybody. And all I can say is, sláinte.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dracaena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracaenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at DracaenaWines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracaenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracaenaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracaena and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at DracaenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!